A change of administration because of the illness of the president, Sydney. Brownsberger had brought in a gradual change in policies.
G. I. Butler reported in the review.
The board of directors whom the stockholders placed in control found themselves powerless to hold in check these influences. A majority of the faculty, sustained by a large portion of the church, threatened to resign in a body if certain measures taken by the board were not retracted. Mass meetings of the students were held to sustain their favorites in the faculty. The board virtually had nothing to do with the management of the college for months during the past year. The tide ran so high that those teachers who had done most in founding the college lost their influence, and were looked upon with dislike. Their lot was made very hard, and stories were circulated against some of them which were calculated to ruin their reputation as Christians, and even as moral men, and these have been circulated through the land, the Review and Herald, September 12, 1882. Faced with these conditions and unable to see the possibility of operating such a school as the Lord had shown we ought to have, the board finally, during the summer recess, decided to close the college with no definite plan to reopen IBID. It was a sad day. Particularly painful to Ellen was the stance taken by the Review editor, Uriah Smith, in connection with the deteriorating Battle Creek College situation. Since the spring of 1853, when Smith had joined the office force in Rochester, New York, he had been a pillar of strength in the development and growth of the church. Now, when the spirit of prophecy was being challenged, his support was especially needed. Smith's children, who were attending the school, sided with the liberal element. His own sympathies tended in the same direction. During this period, an occasional interchange of letters took place between him and Ellen. In her testimonies relating to Battle Creek, the church, and the college, she had probed the matter and given counsel based on her insights into the conflict and the attitude of various individuals. One key to the problem came to light later by way of Smith's letter to her written August 10, 1882. He explained his hesitancy to accept her counsel regarding some of these matters by saying, "I had always supposed that a testimony was based on a vision, and I did not understand that you had any vision since the recent trouble in the college commenced." Based on this philosophy, Smith attributed reproof and counsel that she wrote concerning school matters to reports she had received or to her own opinions. Ellen's great concern as she learned of the trend at the college is revealed in this portion of a letter she sent to the church in Battle Creek. "Dear brethren and sisters in Battle Creek, when I went to Colorado, I was so burdened for you, that, in my weakness, I wrote, in September 1881, many pages to be read at your camp meeting. Weak and trembling, I arose at 3 o'clock in the morning, to write to you. God was speaking through clay. But the document was entirely forgotten, the camp meeting passed, and it was not read until the general conference. You might say that it was only a letter. Yes, it was a letter, but prompted by the Spirit of God, to bring before your minds things that had been shown me. While visiting Heldsburg last winter, I was much in prayer and burdened with anxiety and grief. But the Lord swept back the darkness at one time while I was in prayer, and a great light filled the room. An angel of God was by my side, and I seemed to be in Battle Creek. I was in your councils, I heard words uttered, I saw and heard things that, if God willed, I wish could be forever blotted from my memory. My soul was so wounded, I knew not what to do or what to say. Some things I cannot mention. I was bidden to let no one know in regard to this, for much was yet to be developed. I was told to gather up the light that had been given me, and let its rays shine forth to God's people. I have been doing this in articles in the papers." During the year that followed the closing of the college, the work of Ellen G. White was carefully scrutinized and consideration was given to Inspiration Revelation as it related to her experience and writings. Much was published by dissidents to destroy confidence in the testimonies. Then a trio of dissidents united in the production of an extra of the Sabbath Advocate, in which were presented a number of criticisms of Ellen White. At first the criticism was ignored. Then its wide distribution, especially among Adventists, gave rise to questions demanding answers. The first answer came from the pen of Walcott Littlejohn in the Review in May 1883.